Welcome, everyone. You are present here in the Philosophical Explorations podcast. I'm your host, Emma Chen, and today I will be discussing a philosophical question with the lens on the other, in that how does being othered by the self and world actually bring beauty to a woman's life? Now, you guys, when I mean beauty, I obviously do not mean the superficial attributes like, oh, our hair, our makeup, etc. Like, no, my definition of beauty encompasses a woman's true inner qualities. You know, really her drive and how she works to transcend in the world. Now, I want to speak upon this quite controversial topic because as women, being viewed as the other is actually seen as demeaning, as we all know. But I really want to take this, you know, a step further, take it a little bit more creatively, and explore a different angle on the situation. Like, how can we as women prove to the world that our otherness doesn't actually lessen who we are, but actually enhances us instead? And in answering this question, I'm going to be using the three philosophers, Simone de Beauvoir, Martha Nussbaum, and Raya Dunayevskaya, to talk about the standpoint in how being an other possesses an alluring beauty like no other. Now, let's get settled in and start off with Beauvoir. Now, paraphrased by Kim Atkins in Self and Subjectivity, Beauvoir states that the woman is defined only by her relation to the man, and that being solely a quote-unquote relation makes a woman the other. And in that being said, this other, aka woman, aka us, we are essentially dependent on the views of the male self. Y'all, however, there is so much depth in being a woman that the male self just cannot see. Like, the man sees what he wants to see, but he's not a woman. He doesn't have that womanly perspective on life. And a woman's lived experiences reveals this beautiful life as the other that this primary sex cannot replicate. Like, being an other doesn't make a woman passive. It just means that there are so many aspects of the woman that are just blindsided in a world that only sees her as either a statistic or as a relation to someone else. Now, let's continue with Beauvoir. In The Second Sex, y'all, she talks about the dynamics between how men and women view their newborn child. She states that when a newborn child is born, that man finds it to be this miraculous sight, while the woman finds it to be a magical experience. Now, right off the bat, I love Beauvoir's use of the words miraculous and magical, because I think it adds so much emotion and just abstract sense to how the different sexes view the world. Now, back to her quote, a man would find this act to be miraculous because a man doesn't comprehend that labor and effort that the woman has done to give birth to her baby. Like, he just thinks this act just happens because, like, men tend usually to think with simplicity. Meanwhile, the woman finds it to be magical because she has, you know, really experienced the role of bearing this child throughout the entire 9 months of her pregnancy. Like, you know, funnily enough, it's magical. This whole experience is magical. She's like a magician. You know, only magicians know their secrets. Only the woman understands the work behind this wonder. You know, unlike the man who only sees the final result, the woman understands this process extremely intimately. And this makes her newborn feel magical to her rather than an inexplicable miracle. Now, I do know that I ramble a lot, so just to keep you on track of what we're answering, my question, revert our focus, how does being othered by the self and world bring beauty to a woman's life? And in here, that beauty is by being othered. Like, yeah, we don't have a simplistic, that right-on mindset as men do, but it just means we have a more complex mindset. We have this deeper connection to our minds, our body, and its processes. Like, every action we do is filled with meaning and emotion. And to apply to the real world, this is why so many women fight for the right for abortion. You know, women are the ones undergoing this deep mental and emotional turmoil, either leading up to an abortion or facing the consequences of not undergoing this act. Like, we're very much in touch with our bodies that the opposite sex cannot see nor experience. Now, what's so beautiful is how we view ourselves on this layered level, and that how we view ourselves, it's like sacred, and it cannot be replicated or viewed similarly by their primary sex. Interesting, huh? Let's move on to Marxist philosophy of revolution and permeance of our day, selected writings by Raya Dunayevskaya. Here, Dunayevskaya talks about the Preston strike in 1853 and how wages were significantly reduced and working conditions were absolutely horrific. Dunayevskaya, she exclaims that these monstrous conditions did not limit women to fighting those exploitative conditions of labor, but challenged the educational system as well. So even when women were being exploited by a patriarchal government, they didn't accept it and do as they're told. No. What gives this other her beauty is her act of transcendence. And how does she transcend? She demands for better labor. And in this era, women work for this occupational reform and even go a step further to challenge the education system, especially in the fight to change child labor laws, you know, to help those kids who are being forced into factories instead of pursuing something greater. And here it shows how women, even while being othered, were thinking beyond of what men viewed them as, aka rule followers. You know, not only did they understand that they were not going to accept these horrific working conditions, no, they also understood that education was another key to liberation, not just for them, but for the future generation too. And their beauty, once again, is their transcendence and being able to see that ugly, to push for change. They resist what was handed to them. They fight back. We fight back. This podcast is brought to you by The Philosopher's Hotline. Are you tired of living a life without meaning? Do you want your mind to be blown? If you said yes, call The Philosopher's Hotline at 711, and with the price of your time, you will receive an automated message from a selection of 10 influential philosophers in history. I called yesterday and got Descartes. He whispered, "Listener, you think, therefore you are," followed by an uncomfortably elongated period of silence. And now, I am forever changed. I'm still thinking to this day, like, what is our true purpose in life? Why are we even here? Do we even exist? Oh my god, am I even real? So what are you waiting for? Call The Philosopher's Hotline for an existential crisis today. So, up until this point, we have two things that make women beautiful, despite, you know, dudes being othered. And that by being othered, we are able to have a deeper connection with ourselves and our bodies, and that we are able to transcend out of our strictly imposed roles, what we are told to do, and fight for change instead. Now, what's the third beautiful aspect of ourselves? Let's talk about that. Now, here, I'm actually going to switch it up a bit and input Rousseau for the purposes of what's going to be coming up next. So, in his Social Contract, or Principles of Political Right, in Book 1, he states that the most ancient of all societies and the only one that is natural is a family, and that the children remain attached to the father only as long as they need him for preservation. And as soon as that need disappears, the bond is dissolved, and the children are released from the father, and the father is released from the children, and they both live in independence. So basically, this relationship is only temporary in both parties' perspectives. And I'm finding here that it's solely dependent on survival and nothing else. You know, as long as one is not needed anymore, they part their own ways. Now, in Public Philosophy and International Feminism by Martha C. Nussbaum, she states that in India, women form bonds that become their primary source of support. you know, her stay in India, it, oh my goodness, it showed her the great political importance of groups, of affiliation among women as their sources of self-respect, friendship, and delight. And Jamaya, an Indian woman Nussbaum observed, worked alongside other women in her village to strengthen and build her community upwards while her sons were away. So these women were the main supporters and backbone of their community. Now, unlike Rousseau's argument that relationships are only temporary and as needed for survival, and then they shift off to independence, Nussbaum actually argues that women differ from this in that they form relationships that are filled with strength and last forever. And the beauty here is shown through that emotional connection and continuity that forms when women are brought together in a society that they are othered from. Now, let's summarize and ask, now here's the big picture, you know, like, what can we do about this? What's next? So, first, as a woman, being an other is beautiful in that, number one, we have this, you know, deeper, abstract, and more artistic perception of how we view ourselves and our bodies. Now, the what's next question is, how can we take this beautiful concept and bring change into the real world? Well, like I previously said, I spoke upon abortion. You know, we understand our anatomy, our autonomy the best. We are literally the philosophers of our own bodies, are we not? You know, because we understand, like, how complex our mind is and how complex our body is, and we're... And in doing so, we can combine together to get that drive to fight for that needed right we universally need. Now, number two, being an other is also beautiful in that because opportunities are not spoon-fed to us, we have the ability to really transcend out of our passive roles and undergo this resistance and reformation. Now again, how can we take this concept and bring change to the real world? Well, once again, we can bring more reform. Like, literally there are still so many misogynistic practices all around the world, and there are many places in third world countries where young girls are not getting education or the rights they deserve. And especially if we bring Nussbaum's philosophy into this concept and really branching out into international waters, I think we can really make a difference worldwide. You know, we can transcend to build reform and to better and strengthen those girls of our world that need it the most. And finally, number three, being an other is beautiful in that we have more meaningful and emotional connections through lasting womanly bonds. Now, once again, how can we take this beautiful concept and bring change? While we can form lasting relationships that especially hone in into the women in need. Like, you know, I learned a lot about the necessity of crisis shelters for women in one of my psychology nursing classes. And it is so, so needed, especially if these women are homeless or if they've been abused at home. Like, we can strive to actively support and create more women's shelters and other groups that allow other women to really bond together, to realize that they're not alone and that their voices are allowed to be heard in a society that others them and silences them tremendously. So I think that being othered is beautiful, but it's also hauntingly beautiful, and that it is very true that women do not receive the same privileges as men, you know, because they have to work and fight harder to achieve what they need. However, women do have these unique advantages, like being attuned so well to their mind-body harmony, being able to transcend, to undergo resilience for themselves and future generations, and like having more emotional, lasting connections formed by the bonds with other women. And like I said before, we can use each of these qualities of what makes us beautiful as a force for change in the real world. So with that being said, being othered does not weaken us as women at all. Like, it actually brings us strength collectively, and it keeps us going to fight for the reform we desire. Thank you for listening to the Philosophical Explorations podcast. I was your host, Emma Chen, and I hope you remain present and grounded. Thank you.